Cindy Feldman is a 40-year industry veteran, licensed esthetician, mother of two, grandmother of one, salon owner, thought provoker. She sits on the board of the PBA, aka Professional Beauty Association, with a personal goal to see the industry thrive and support each other. Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong Show. My name is Robert Hughes, and I am your host. Today, I'm here with Cindy Feldman. How are you doing today, Cindy?
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Absolutely. So, anybody listening or watching, I met Cindy through, actually, it was a referral from Lindsay from Orbe, our rep, and he was like, you got to meet Cindy. She's awesome. And then like, I never got a chance to meet. And he was saying, oh, I'll make a connection. But like, you know, just things being as they are, I never followed through with it. And then I was going to Serious Business and I was telling Lindsay, and Lindsay was like, he's like, oh, you got to meet Cindy. Cindy's there. So I made sure to get the chance to like put myself near you so that I could meet you. And then I ran into you again at like a couple weeks later or something?
At the Orbe owner manager meeting.
Yes.
That is, it's the second one for the year. And those are really so valuable. The salon owners and in the area and collaboration, I just love that. So it was great that we got to see each other a couple times.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and now we're here and we get the chance to hear your story and hear where you're at, how you got there and all that good stuff. So I guess why don't we just dive right in and start with, I think it's interesting to hear why people got into hair, but I like to hit the ground running. And so like, if you could give us like a little bit of like why you got into hair, but with a focus on your journey through the industry.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a hairdresser. I am an esthetician, licensed esthetician, and I am a salon owner. We discussed before that the word owner to me is not the most positive of words to describe what I do. I feel like I own the bills and the responsibility, but I co-create this journey with others. And I don't believe success is in a bubble, that it takes a village to raise a salon and to have a culture and a community in my area. But I am Rockville, Maryland, homegrown. I went to Rockville High School at 15 years old. I loved the environment. There was Robert Lewis's Studio of Hair Concepts was the school that he created, but he also had a salon called The Hair Place, and it was attached to Beauty World, that my mother would take me to Beauty World when my aunt got married, and we all had those weaved high teased dues for the wedding. I was probably 6 or 7, spent all damn day in Beauty World. But then Robert opened the first unisex salon in Rockville, Maryland. And that place was cool. They had a swing for the receptionist desk, you know, that she sat in, and a bar instead of like a waiting area, and it hit music, and the hairdressers were all a step up. So you stepped up to a platform and that's where they did their hair cutting. And I said, wow, this is an environment. This is all me. So I had a friend that worked there and I said, I really want to work here for, you know, Thursday evenings being the hairdresser evening and Saturdays. So after school, I'd go there on Thursdays and during the summers. And I was 15 years old and got introduced to an incredible industry that I still have love and passion for today. So I graduated early from high school because they were not my tribe. They were not my people. So I asked the principal, can I please take English? I only needed the English credit. And I graduated. And then I went to aesthetic school. Nice. And I worked in the industry. I worked actually for Lauder for a while. I worked for Clinique Cosmetics because I went into that whole realm. And then I met I had since 15 met this person that I eventually, in 1984, we opened a business together. I was 22. I had an SBA guaranteed loan. It was Super Bowl Sunday that we were on our way to my parents' house for a Super Bowl. And I said, hey, this is a good spot. I saw a for lease sign. I went in and I asked the woman, hey, because it was Sunday and she was working and it was Nebel Instant Printing. And I said, hey, there's a lease for something. You know, can you tell me more about it? And she told me more about it. And she goes, you know, give a call tomorrow. And so I said, I'm going to call. Meanwhile, my partner said, get in the car. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I said, well, tomorrow I am calling. And I did. And that's how the party got started.
So there is some really interesting information in there that I'm sure some other people heard and would like to know more about. So you had an SBA guaranteed loan. So can you tell us what that means?
So back then, the Small Business Administration were not giving out. You had to jump through several hoops. But because I was a woman, being a minority at the time, and I was in partnership with someone that was a man, that would not have gotten us the SBA loan. Because I was a woman and I was a minority, they were giving out loans. So I found a bank. Did a business plan, did it work through it with, I had a great friend that would help me through that process. And yes, I started with $100,000 SBA guaranteed loan.
So does that mean that they were like, okay, this sounds good. Now go find a location. That's how that worked. You didn't have to.
No, I had already found the location. I already found the location.
Okay.
And then I backtracked on, I listed all the expenses. How much would this cost? How much, you know, some things I feel like, Robert, are just intuitively that, like, my entrepreneurship gene is extremely strong. And it just, I wanted to create a space that people worked at, because I had worked at that salon and I stopped working at that salon, and it was very, there were a lot of egos, let's just say that. And it didn't vibe well with me because I felt like people just needed to be seen, heard, and valued. And that's what I wanted to bring into a business. And I also wanted to bring opportunities of growth, education, and high-level use of products, things of those natures were like the pillars of what I wanted. And great customer service. And so that, and this is like, I'm in a C location. I might even be D. The railroad tracks are behind me. It is not like, I don't get walked by traffic, or I used to because there was this famous deli next to us. But, and that was a pain in the neck because I had to have valet parking. But you know, like, I've been through all the hoops, but and it's been such a fascinating and fun journey. But I really, really wanted a sanctuary, not only for guests, but my internal guest, and that is the team. So it was really important. And then I also wanted to serve the community. So I wanted people to know that Progressions was a place that were extremely involved in our community. So there's a couple gift baskets out. I'm looking at them right now. You know, somebody asked for a gift basket for one of their charities. Progressions is gonna always, most of the time, say yes. So that was important. So those kinds of pillars were really important. So the SBA guaranteed loan, of course, you had to put up, I think, $10,000, or, you know, it was, if it didn't work out, what have you. But success, failure was never an option. So we opened 7 days a week, and it was really fun.
Nice. Really. So just to clarify, so you had a location when you went through the SBA already, and did you change your mind about the location? Because it sounded like, so you found a location and then you went to the SBA?
Yes.
Okay.
I found a location.
Okay.
I partnered with the bank that happened to be across the street from the location.
Okay.
It was very, very, the universe provided, let me just say.
Yeah, because everything would have to align, right?
There was a woman banker. And at the time, in 1984, to find women in business, and also I felt so incredible that the woman that I met that was in the space that I ultimately signed a lease for was a woman. And she was in printing. And I said, why did you decide to do a printing? Did you have a background in it? Because she was there on a Sunday printing materials. Like, that's such a gone by the wayside. But she goes, no, I really wanted to make money. And that's how I started my business. And so she was this great woman resource. And then I had this woman banker, which was unheard of, you know, at the time, that saw my vision or saw that the importance of a salon. But, you know, like, salons were up there with restaurants as far as, you know, going under. But we, you know, collectively knew that we could pay the bills, you know, and that was where we started.
Nice. So, okay. So you open the salon, and so tell us a little bit about opening the salon. I mean, you've been running that business for a while now. Do you have any partners? What type of support do you have? Are there any like stories of like extreme excitement and also stories of struggle that you had to overcome or deal with? Anything like that?
Oh gosh, there's
probably so much
stories. So many stories. I mean, so we started with 2,000 square feet, and after 10 years went to 4,000, and after 20 years went to 9,000 square feet.
Wow!
In the same location. So we just kept moving to the left, so yes, of course there was a multitude of, you know, highs and lows. One being just starting a business when, you know, I thought I'd be doing aesthetics, but quickly knew I needed to run a business, that somebody needed to be, my partner was behind the chair, very busy stylist that we recruited. I felt that recruitment had to come from the bottom, that I needed people that understood the vision and wanted to be a part of a culture, and that it was different. It wasn't your normal, you know, sit in the back and bitch about things. This was like sit in the back and come up with solutions. And that love was really the basis for why we were here. And that respecting each other. So along the way, I always had people that were smarter than me around me, people that had been in business a lot longer around me. I always resourced help. And that was, at the time, it was Davidson Beauty Supply with Kenny Gilman and Steve Katz. And, you know, they gave us great. I remember Steve Katz said, regardless of how the business is doing, when anyone asks you, you say it's doing great. And I'm like, okay, you know, but at the end of the day, the universe listens to everything that we say. And it was the truth. And it was great because we were in business. We did well. We were asked to be in a, it was called Salon 10, and it was the top 10 salons in the DC metro area that Professional Beauty and Barber did a like around kind of like what we did at Orbe, you know, got us all together and we started talking about credit card fees or what do you do about this? Or do you have a manual? You know, things that everything was a progression, right? From paper tickets to computers, thinking the world was going to explode because we took ourselves off of paper book. I mean, all of those things. I can't even imagine doing that now. But it was just so, so it's been such a wonderful journey. But anyway, we were a part of this group that all of the salons did $1 million. And that was in the 80s. So it was pretty, we were excelling at a rapid speed. And it all happened because I stuck to some core values, my partner and I. He's a great educator. We were out in the community a lot. I saw Zig Ziglar. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a motivationist. Son is now taking it over. But he spoke at the Chamber of Commerce because I joined the Chamber of Commerce. I had a lot of community, so that helped the business just flourish because a lot of people knew us and wanted to support us and wanted it to thrive, which was really great, but literally in a D location. And it was that sort of thing, build it and they will come, you know, but no, we are going to lead them here is really how it happened. And then, you know, at the 20-year mark is when my partner and I just couldn't keep seeing eye to eye because I was a we person and God bless, but he was more of a me person. And so I bought him out of the business. Okay. And that was not easy. I was also married to him. He was a father of my children.
Wow.
Yeah. We worked together for 6 years to resolve the final change of me taking over the business. And that was really scary, but also empowering because I knew our growth. I knew my position. I knew what I had fed my team. And it was a very strong foundation that they could count on, that it was an unbreakable bond of that I would have their back and they would have mine. And it was difficult. It was not one person left and went and worked with him, except he did have in our contract that the colorist would go with him, and then she ended up coming back. Oh. Those were not fun times. And I wasn't trying to, I really tried to go through it as gracefully and on a high note because that's what was important to me. And, but it was interesting because the banker that came through to give me a lot of money, because I was buying out of our home, out of our business. And
wow.
The banker, who was very stiff, came through and, you know, I gave him the five cent tour. And I said, you know, I'm really interested as to why, you know, I could answer any question or financials or any of those things or how we went about things because I had systems, because I also don't love the word manager because you really, you know, systems are what you manage, not people. You lead people, you guide people, you interact with people. The relationship is what you do with people, but you manage systems. And building systems within my organization has been key. And again, having people. But I asked him, like, you know, why are you, I appreciate they gave me the loan. And I said, I'm just curious why you gave me the loan. Because on paper, I don't bring in $250,000. You know, a hairdresser can bring in $250,000 on paper. I he goes, because I see you can get more service providers. You can't get great leaders.
Mm.
And I see how you interact with your team, and you cannot buy that. So it's really, that's what we're investing in.
Wow. Was this like a small bank, like a community bank or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
And I have had, if I can give great advice, it would be to find a banker in your local community that you can build a relationship with. And that I've had that all along. I've had bankers help me through the whole, you know, COVID thing. And I've had coaches help me through the, you know, all of that as well. Because it is, you know, that truth of it being lonely at the top is true. It is. So having people that do things better than you around you is to me the key of how it's worked so well. And I also now have a leadership team that everybody is a part of this, you know, success journey.
Nice. This is awesome. You know, through all of these stories that I've been hearing, there are these common threads, and I didn't even expect you to, like, that story about, you know, your trial and you know, your triumph over it is just so moving. And thank you so much for sharing it. I mean, between relationships and determination and focus and hard work, it just sounds like you just doing it. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
I really, again, it's not doing it alone, but I also did things that made me feel really uncomfortable as a leader, like public speaking for serious business. I was asked to talk about coaches because I'm a huge advocate of in salon coaching and out of salon coaching and coaching, you know, because I believe the only one that really keeps us at the time accountable was the bank. You know, I don't have loans and stuff now, but, you know, that was really the landlord and the bank and your team. Of course, you want to pay the bills. But I believe that coaching is the highest form of adult learning that there is, because the more you can learn about yourself, the more you can push yourself, the more you can not necessarily work on your deficiencies, because I don't believe that. I believe that working on your strengths and having others around you that can take care of your deficiencies or better or do that better, that to me is what has also been very helpful. I went out of the country to Toronto and I joined Strategic Coaching. It's a quarterly coaching company that you gather with entrepreneurs. And my nephew, actually through marriage, lives up there in Toronto. And I'd never been to Toronto. And I said, you know, I'm going to go to Toronto because he's up there. I'll get to visit. He was always coming to visit me with his kids and his wife. So I'm going to go up there. And I sat there with doctors, lawyers, you know, some business owners, but there was no salon owners, let me tell you that. So being in that room quarterly, and I did that for 3 years with Strategic Coaching. Dan Sullivan is like one of the founding fathers of coaching, and they still do incredible work today. It was so thought-provoking, you know, 10 times in your business, and free days and focus days and, you know, buffer days and what the, you know, and all of the tools. So it's really a toolbox, right? An entrepreneur has a toolbox. That's what I think. And it's just adding tools to the toolbox. Lynn Christian from Soul Salt Coaching has been my coach for many years. And she became my coach at the very critical time when I separated and I was going through the infancy of that challenge. And when Clayball came to the salon to do a motivational class for my team, and he was awesome, as you know.
Awesome. Yeah,
he just, I mean, he just amazing. We had such a good time. So after his class, I said, hey, Wynn, do you do personal coaching? And he goes, you know, I don't, but I have someone that does. And it was Lynn Christian of Soul Salt. So look her up, because she actually would be a great person to have on your, she just wrote a book. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And she's amazing. I mean, she has transformed her life on many, many, many times, but she's been a plumb line of strength for me. Very cool.
I love this. Okay. So you, so we're up to, I guess, 20 or so years in, and, so tell us what the from that point to now, give us like a little rundown of, you know, because now you're sitting on the board, and you mentioned thought provocation in your coaching. So if you want to tie that in, you know, what makes you you know, a thought provoker, and how'd you end up on the board, and if there's anything else in that story that you think is important to share.
So the PBA does a email blast, and I was on like the listserv at one time. There was a listserv that had people that on the PBA, that it was kind of like an online forum for that. There's a ton of them on Facebook, you know, that you can be a part of to talk about issues or whatever, challenges, positive things, hopefully. And it came through that they were having an election for that they needed people on their advisory board. And I said, you know, I've always loved the PBA, and I think that it's such an important association. I don't know, I'm just going to apply. So I did. And I got a call back, and they said, you know, we would love to have you on the board. They did a vote or what have you. And I'm like, wow. And so talk about, again, a level of discomfort, huge level of discomfort, sitting next to Scott Buchanan, you know, Bonnie Conti. I mean, all of these incredible leaders that, you know, I kind of knew, but I kind of stayed in my own backyard to take care of what I knew that I couldn't have control over, and didn't really know them that well. But they became, you know, just such great, important people. So I became part of the association, and I just saw what incredible work the PBA does for our industry. And I know that it's just now starting to gain momentum because of the purchase of the show portion of PBA. They have sold that part. So the focus is now going heavily into education, heavily into Beacon, heavily into recruiting more salons so that it can be robust, and heavily into government affairs. The amount of deregulation that comes across the desk, and that our association goes against the lawmakers to not have deregulation, would make people's heads spin if they saw it, you know. And so getting that word out, as far as also the disaster relief fund, and knowing that we help people at their worst, you know, floods or fires or whatever it's been during COVID, and giving out thousands and thousands of dollars to people that they didn't even need to be. They just need to be in the salon industry. They didn't need to be a member even. So I love stuff like that, because it really makes me know I'm in the right place, and that my voice and my message and my community and my circle of influence, I can involve them as well.
Did you watch the State of the Union by any chance?
I listened to a lot of it.
Okay. So this does not have anything to do with politics. There's a quote in there, the greatest story never told. And that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about the PBA and all the work they did. That sounds like maybe one of the greatest stories not never told in our industry. So definitely.
It's true.
I would love to help get that word out, by the way, just as a side note.
That will be one of your next podcasts because our team now, Leslie Perry and Katie, I mean, and Nina Daly, that is running the show. Since I've been on the advisory and now I'm on the board, I've been there several years and it's changed dramatically and it's just gotten so much more powerful and they just want to do so much more. And so it's thrilling and we need others to apply, you know, and become a part of it. Cause to me, like any term, I think it should have its limits. Just I think fresh new Amen. Ideas
Amen.
Is a good thing in life.
Amen. Oh man. Okay, so this is so awesome. All right, so we have your story kind of getting into the salon as salon owner and then going breaking apart from your not only your business partner but your life partner and then you go through that and through relationships and always putting yourself in uncomfortable positions and like being willing to put yourself out there and like learn and grow in all these different ways, listen to advice, all that has led you to where you're at. You ended up on the board. And so like, as you say, so you're now you're here. So why don't you tell us like everything that you're doing now? So you got the salon, if you could give us a little run through of everything you're doing right now, just so that we kind of catch up to today.
Well, with 43, it changes a lot, only because in certain departments, you know, it does tend to change. But with team members of that amount, it's so important to me to have connections. And I do one-on-ones a couple times a year, but they're coached monthly. And so what now I've incorporated is a leadership team. So we have leadership meetings every month and we talk about marketing. I have a marketing partner with my leadership team and an inventory and guest service. That's another arm and education. So we have new talent that actually I'm watching as another team member teaches another young team member to do a perm. And it's all of those spokes in the wheel. You know, I surrendered a long time ago. It can't just be me. Not this large of a group, this large of a business. So having a leadership team that I can trust, that I can depend on, that allows me to, again, dive more into my strengths, and I'm still part of the day-to-day, but it's not crucial that I be a part of the day-to-day. So bringing in innovation, attending, you know, really important, the data-driven, the executive summit, things like that, that take me out of the salon so that I can continue to learn and grow our brand and that we collectively grow it together is just so important. We just brought Vish on. I believe that automation is the way of our future. You know, that as much as we can automate, the better, except don't want anyone to call in and press 1 or 2 or 3. I want them to have any of our guests or internal or external to have somebody on the other end of the phone. So it's keeping my vision, having it like the leadership team that then spreads it to everybody else. But I'm really accessible to my team. So now we just won the Salon Today 200.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, and I love that. I really love the Salon Today 200 and my dear friend that I am going to, you know, really miss that just passed away with Siri Carroll that brought all these great. I mean, honestly, Serious Business was one of the best teaching weekends that I continually learn from, grow from, and attend. And it is not inexpensive, but ignorance is expensive. You know, going and learning and growing and taking your resources for that kind of purpose. And I never have gone just by myself. I've always taken team members. Team members that, you know, are like, why am I coming to this? Because you're up front and I want you to know, or you're in my spa department and I want you to know, and you're in my nail department and I want you to know, and you're my support team and I want you to know. Because that's the importance of collectively creating an energy that everyone is seen, heard, and valued. You know, that their opinion matters, that they're not just here holding space, but they're here on purpose. So those sorts of things are what we're doing now. And just the automation thing and doing some tweaking. I just renegotiated my lease. That's always so fun. But, you know, it's also a position of strength when you're about to turn 40, you know, that, and you've been here for that many years to, you know that you have that power. If you've been here that long, then you're usually respected and admired because it's a small club, you know, of people that stick with it. And that's the whole thing. It's the consistency factor. 2020 was for everybody a horrible experience, but also there were gifts that came out of it. But during that time, I had a relationship that I was very much a part of. And this man moved to Naples, Florida, and he was a dear friend of mine. And I went down to see him during the COVID time. And he had a glioblastoma. And it was May 15th. I'll never forget. Went down, thought I was going for the weekend, see how he was doing. And I didn't leave until July 15th because he was in his last weeks of life and had no one because everybody was scared. And I got that. But I wanted to walk him home because it's a great honor to show up for someone that nobody was around for and to give him that honor as he gave me the honor and privilege to walk him home. So, but to be able to rely on a team that gave me that freedom to say, we got you, we got this, to be on Zoom calls and getting everything together to reopen. But before I went on May 15th, everything was already in a line. It was already, we're ready, you know? And we sold during COVID, we sold, you know, color kits. We delivered them to people's houses.
Wow.
$75 a pop. We had a little video on our Facebook page. I mean, it was, you know, because anytime there is like the recession when it hit, you know, there's recess, right? Recession. And I would innovate. Like I created series way back in the recession days, you know, that I'm like, okay, here's a way we can give you what you need, savings, and you can give us what we need in the bank at the time, you know? So stuff like that, you know? And we're constantly taking the fine tooth comb and going through our systems. And where can we tweak? Survey in our team. What is it you want? What is it you desire? What motivates you? What, you know? So at these one-on-one meetings that I have with my team aren't going over numbers. I don't even look at their numbers because you know, you're coached by your coach, you know where you are, you know what you need to do. you know, we will provide you any and all opportunities to help you thrive.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, and so I've given them this book, The Art of Possibility, which I believe in possibility. And so it's been kind of great having these one-on-ones.
Nice. This sounds awesome. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would be like, oh, I really like everything I'm hearing. Tell us a little bit about the salon. You said it's 9,000 square feet. Is it
85% of our bottom line is hair.
Okay.
We have three spa rooms, two lash rooms, a nail pedicure room, a customized spray tan room. A large part of our salon is a store. So that's why it says Progression Salon Spa Store. And that came when we went to 20,000 square feet, that we changed the name to that. AKA really came from Scott Miller's salon. Him and his wife, Helen, are incredibly innovative, and I went to visit their salon spa store. And I said, that makes sense to me, even though retail now is a whole different animal than it was then and continues to change. So adjusting the dial to me is really important, and being aware, even though people frown about the whole affiliate links, it almost is a throwback to like not wanting hairdressers to have the names and numbers of people, of clients. Like, you can find people everywhere and you can find products everywhere, and it's not a secret anymore. Okay. So the offering, the invitation is how well it is that experience that the client is receiving that day, because that ain't happening online. And we are one of the only industries that touch people without gloves. You know, it's visceral that people need hands on them. So we have the upper hand. It's just a matter of us, you know, using our power to rock whatever it is you want to see, you know. And so the industry's changed, as you know, in 40 years, it's changed quite a bit. But again, the foundational thing is love, you know, building great relationships, having people be seen, heard, and valued. And it really is pretty basic, comes down to all of that. But also being smart and intuitive and willing to shift. Gotta be willing to change and grow. That's the only constant.
And it sounds like also ask for help and build community. It also sounds like that.
I am a believer in asking for help. And that's why I have lots of coaches, actually. I have, you know, and I have the best accountant and lawyer. And, but. The Summit Salon Systems, I'm a big advocate of. Glenn Baker, I've worked with for many years. And I've also, you know, it's so important that if something's not working or if you're not in alignment with what people are saying to you, that you find someone else. That you not be afraid, well, I, you know, spent this amount of time or money or whatever. If it doesn't feel right in your gut and it's not residing in your heart, find someone else, because they're out there. There's so many great professionals out there that want to be of service and help. But I'm a real advocate of one other thing, that for me, a coach has to be in it too. So that's why the Summit Salons, like Glenn Baker, still an owner of 23 salons. Like, I don't want to go, you know, there's that cliche, you know, it's like going to a sex therapist and they don't have sex. You know, you want to go to,
totally.
You know, right? Yeah, I want a salon coach that's actually owns a salon. That's not just telling me what to do. And I'm not saying that they don't have experience or what have you, but it changes so fast that when you're in it, and of course, human nature doesn't change, or it does, but it, I mean, the whole brain thing is so wild, but and evolving every day, but it's important to me. Maybe it's not important to someone else, but it's important to me that somebody is in the trenches as well.
Totally. You know, I was going to say, this has been an awesome conversation, and do you have any last things to say before we wrap it up? And I feel like that's, you preempted that. That was all so good. But, you know, I do think this is great, and I do think that I love your story, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of this. And so I would like to say this is a great time to say anything, any last pieces of advice, or if there's any part of your story that you think is really important to get out. And as we wrap it up.
I'm sure I'll think about it, you know, after we talk, and that's fine, because I think that, you know, having conversations like this is powerful all by itself. I don't believe in that I'm anyone's guru, don't want to be anyone's guru, but I believe that there is just our industry, especially, there is always someone out there willing to help. There's always some information that can be had. I'm an open book. If anyone ever wants to call or talk to me, yeah, I'm everyone has my cell number in, you know, in my salon. And I just feel like that's the only thing I can give out now is the wisdom that I've created or learned throughout my journey. But there's no there there. I'm still growing and learning, and never stop growing and learning. That would be my wise words.
Love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'd love to have you on again and talk more about some of these topics. Specifically, we talked a lot about community, and would love to talk about community building and getting the word out of everything that's happening in the industry. And probably other topics. Like I think it'd be really interesting conversation to talk about your experience with technology changing and adapting throughout the time of your ownership, and then like looking into the future. I think that'd be a really cool conversation. So, I love this, and thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Robert.
Absolutely. Well, until next time, I'll see you later.
Okay. Thank you.